Heroes Not Included is a serialized story podcast featuring actual play of Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition from Wizards of the Coast. Wizards of the Coast own their respective trademarks, copyrights, and related materials. A special thanks to all the great people at Wizards of the Coast for all their hard work creating wonderful games for us to play. Previously on Heroes Not Included.
Then, at some point, we realized that all you had to do was just had to touch the portal, and that opened up. So we went in there. Then we all had life-changing visions. I saw my precious keep being destroyed by stone giants. Kallax saw
Rex in the sea.
Uh-huh.
And
some captain that you're buddies with.
I didn't see him, but I saw all of his men and his ship destroyed.
And Aspen saw his home in the Fae stomped on?
Not my home in the Fae, my home.
Your gnomish home?
But I already had known.
And then we met the odd giant ghost, whose dad killed him because he was to be chosen instead of his dad, and his little bit of green monster came out and stabbed him in the gut. The person explained how the oracle worked to us, and realized that we had 6 questions, so we sat and fumed over the right 6 questions to ask for a long time. And ultimately what came out of it is we realized there's these teleportation conches, which I'm guessing you blow and a little portal opens. The Oracle Allfather wants us to go after the Fire Giant one. Find Magic Conch, Duke Zalto, Fire Giant, and the Ice Spires. And then on the way out, we met Imrith, I think. I'm assuming. Well, that was Imrith.
Heroes Not Included, Season 2.
Perhaps, I mean, it's like a fly, right? Like, you'd be like, ah, whatever. Maybe that's what it feels like. I'm going to...
Except, given her size, a casual swat away...
would be very painful.
Would probably, count as quite the damaging melee attack against you.
I'm going to dash for the door of the hallway.
So you're following Aelbard?
No. Well, Aelbard's in the.
It's okay. It's okay. Oh, so you're just you're staying in the room with the statue.
I'm just gonna
you're just like going straight for the exit.
Yeah.
All right. Dash. All right. Awesome. Aspen.
So I have seen Aelbard go through those doors.
Yep.
There's a dragon here.
Yep.
I've got Jador, and we're moving in this direction of the doors because that's where I saw Aelbard run. But now I've just seen Kallax dart for the back.
Yep. Dart for the exit.
Jador, we gotta get it outside. Just trust me. And then I snap my fingers, and Jador is invisible, because I just feel like he'll draw less attention that way. Can I know what Aspen knows about dragons?
Yeah.
What kind of roll for that?
Nature.
Oof, not so good. 12?
12?
They suck.
They are big and scary.
Well, you can turn to the page there. You know the top paragraphs, and then only the stuff in bold, not the paragraphs themselves. But just
the general theme.
Yeah, the general theme.
Okie doke.
Okay, so you've turned Jador invisible.
And I'm moving the way Kallax is moving. I'm going to also dash.
Okay.
Well, I can't dash. I can only do my move.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Can I dash as a bonus?
Maybe you could climb on top of Jador and just ride Jador.
Oh, yeah. If he's...
Run! How are you doing
that? I didn't want to yell run, because I don't want him to... Because
Jador doesn't run.
Yeah.
But I give him the general idea of, we're going to take it outside! And he's invisible now, so I'm just floating.
All right. He is not running, but he is moving in the direction of the exit.
Aspen's flying posture is very strange.
Yeah, this is, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
What?
I just look like I'm sitting because I probably scrambled up onto his shoulder again,
right.
Holding on.
Okay.
You're like Wonder Woman in an invisible jet.
He's not... Jador is not running, but he is making his way towards the exit.
This is as good as I could hope for with Jador, I think. And even his walk speed is probably pretty fast, so...
Imrith is busy with Harshnag. While Harshnag is attacking Imrith, he yells,
"Flee! Your fate lies elsewhere!"
Pieces of the ceiling have started to come down. She's beginning to thrash. She is in the moment, so to speak. All right, Aelbard, you continue to make your way to the exit.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I just assume that that's what everyone is going to attempt to do the next several rounds, is mm-hmm. to get out of the building?
Correct. Hmm.
Yeah, so you guys scurry, run, dash, stroll defiantly out of the room and down the steps. The whole area is shaking. It feels like there's an earthquake going on. And you can hear more bits and pieces of the ceiling begin to give way. And you do finally make your way down the long hall that it is towards those stone blocks. And you can fire at them.
I do.
But it does nothing.
Oh. Oh, well.
They're recessed into the ceiling, and so if there is any mechanism to fire at it, you don't have a clear line of sight on it.
I just wish that they would fall.
As you guys begin running across the bridge, you hear this massive crash, and ice and frost and dust come blowing out of the main entranceway in a huge cloud, as though something massive has collapsed. And you find yourselves there in the ravine. Standing outside, you see something rather peculiar lowering itself down into the ravine.
Is it a cloud?
No.
Ah.
And if you guys want, you can make a perception check.
Yes,
can
take please. What you do. 17?
4.
6.
A strange vehicle hangs in the sky overhead, slowly drifting closer. It looks like a small ship with sleigh runners held aloft
Santa.
By a giant red balloon.
Yeah, I run towards it.
I assume none of us have ever seen something like this before.
No, you haven't.
It really doesn't look dragon-made.
It doesn't look dragon-made.
How big is it? Can I tell, perspective-wise?
Is it a schooner?
Yeah, right. Okay. What kind of ship is it?
It's tough to say how big it is.
Okay.
But as it approaches, it lowers down this rope ladder, and you see someone begin to climb down it. And they
don't climb down!
Do they look like medium-sized?
They look human.
Okay.
They're wearing this rather peculiarly cut black scale leather armor. It has lots of points on it. It looks as though it's an attempt to mimic dragon scale.
Mm. You know anything about this?
No.
You just do water ships?
Yep. Just what, not airships.
Do we usually not feel a sense of we need to get the heck out of here right now?
Oh, you do.
I cast Fly on me and Kallik, and we start levitating up towards the... Or I start levitating up towards the...
Okay.
Towards the ship.
The guy climbing down the rope ladder kind of stops, it looks.
And I just, as I'm flying, I'm like, no! And then just keep...
Okay. Are you going to lead...
Yeah.
Your steed... to the rope ladder.
He's a boon companion.
Okay.
But yes.
That being said.
All right, you begin climbing the rope, and the guy who was climbing down the rope climbs back up in to the airship.
Okay.
No.
He waits for you to get onto the rope ladder. And once everyone is at least on the rope ladder,
Jedor's gonna hate this.
He begins to pull the
Earth getting up. Smaller. No wings. Not right.
Right.
Not right.
Just climb, buddy. Just climb.
Double down.
Mm.
Yeah, he probably hates us. It'll take him a while.
Prefer Fey giant.
Me too,
boat on
buddy.
Water was bad enough.
Yeah, right. Once everyone is on deck, the individual steps forward and
twirls his evil mustache and says, "Aha, you fell for my trap."
No, that's
the
okay.
Takes off the black leather mask that is also cut like dragon scales.
Oh, he got dressed up for it.
And she says, "We come to you on behalf of Cluth, the great dragon of the north. Cluth offers you this vessel and our services as a gift so that you may cross his vast domain while avoiding the many perils of the land below. War against the giants is inevitable, but the great dragon commands you forge ahead and face your destiny. The ordaining of the giants is broken, and they are not united. Stay with your leaders, and you may yet prevail. If you succeed in quelling the giant threat, Kaluth bids you come to his hidden vale, so that he may reward your bravery.
How would we find the hidden vale, given that it is hidden?
Well, we know where it is.
So...
Black dragons, black leather with dragon scales, right?
Scaled leather armor.
Oh, great.
I look at him. I look at her. I look back at the temple that I'm guessing it still has, like, weird, like, bits of it, like...
Falling apart.
Yeah, and I go, sounds like a good deal! And then walk away from the ledge.
Okay. Anyone else have anything to say?
No, I mean, a ride sounds great. We clearly have places to go, so...
You are very, very fortuitous to come at this very moment.
How did you know we were here?
You're just like...
Kaluth.
Ex machina.
Kaluth knows all things that happen in his realm.
Do you know his opinion on that blue dragon?
Blue dragon? Where?
Drops the knowledge off. I think it's fine.
Whispered Aobar.
So I kind of gesture back at the temple, and I'm like, there's a reason that's falling apart. We certainly didn't do that.
Poor maintenance.
Kaluth will want to know about this.
Well, you can give him that information with our tidings and thanks.
Yeah. We're willing to work together in a Kaluth's gym.
We'll be in Kaluth's.
I love puns. It's a dad joke.
Yeah, that's true.
I think everybody at this table enjoys a dad joke.
She says, my name is Delsaphine. Kaluth has ordered us to take you where it is you wish to go. So where is it you wish to go?
Where?
East! Iron Slag.
Do we need to stop? Do we need to go anywhere first?
Citadel Adbar is the dwarven city that's really picky about who gets in, right?
Yeah, it's on lockdown.
Felbar?
Yeah, Felbar is a bit like Adbar in that few visitors are allowed past the gate.
Mm-hmm. But there's like a huge city kind of outside the gate.
No, there's not really a huge city either. There is caravans that park there. And there's some trading that happens outside the gate, but...
What am I thinking of? I must be thinking somewhere else.
Well, Mirabar has the huge city above it.
It must be, maybe it's Mirabar I was thinking of.
Visitors can come and go into Mithril Hall.
You can stop at Mithril Hall. It's on the way.
I can make my character reference for Zephyros.
But Gomblegrim and Felbar and Adbar... Especially Felbar and Adbar because of the Orc Wars and the War of the Silver Marshes is fairly locked down. So you can stop wherever you want. I just need to know where.
Let's go to Mithril Hall?
Yeah, that's cool. Mithril Hall?
I feel like that would be Aobard's first choice anyway.
Yeah.
It has Mithril in the name.
I hear they're really fancy. And if anyone knows how to deal with fire giants, I would say these dwarves would have a good idea.
Yeah, that's probably a good place.
Yeah.
Do it.
All right. She says, as you wish. And she commands, yells a few things at a few people and passes around some orders. And the airship takes off in that direction.
I say, I like her. She makes me feel things in my adolescent parts. Do you see how she commands this ship and tells these people what to do and they do it?
Okay, so you're headed to Mithril Hall. So as the airship kind of clears the ravine,
how long, like how fast does an airship go? Is it fast or is it more that it can just go as the crow flies?
8 miles an hour, not accounting for headwinds or tailwinds. So with a good tailwind, you know, you could probably get it up to 15. And if you're doing 15 miles an hour without having to go up and down and round and over. Mm-hmm.
And climb and cut through.
That's not a bad clip. All right. You spend several days traveling. And it reminds you a little bit like when you were traveling with the Cloud Giant. In a way, more comfortable because everything is your size and there are actual beds and rooms. Less so because it's not palatial in any sense. This thing is small. There's an underneath floor that has some bunks. and it has some storage for food and wine, but other than that, there's not much to it.
I like to think of me and Aspen playing cards again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's become this this real game of cheating, where it's like the best of sleight of hand versus the best of illusion. There's several times where it's like four aces, and then Aspen lays on four aces, and there's this sort of, that can't happen. And there's still four aces in the deck. Wow, how awkward is this?
What are you guys playing? We're playing aces.
Yeah, apparently the whole deck is aces.
I use Phantasmal Force. Because it's an intelligence saving throw.
Yeah.
That's the one that convinced the guy he was in bushes so much that he took damage. So I imagine it'll probably win me several card games.
So it's become less of a game of cards, I guess what I'm saying. It's almost a mini battle that's kind of happening.
Got it. As per usual, Valum is ill. He seems to just get ill whenever there is any kind of motion involving a vehicle of any kind. The other thing that is different from when you last traveled in the sky is, Eobard, every night you are having nightmares and horrific dreams. And they usually start with your name being whispered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that
instantly prickly sweat beads form.
Yeah, and it's that voice that you've heard numerous times now. You
mm-hmm.
know. But it goes from being that comforting, sort of seductive voice to the voice of your father yelling at you.
That's a Freudian nightmare.
Eobard! Eobard!
Yes, Papa!
And in the dream, he's on fire.
Ooh.
And he is bloody and a corpse. Every time the dream ends with him saying, "This is your fault! You're supposed to build Fangstone, not tear it down! You have destroyed me and your mother." And that usually forces you to wake up in a sweat. It's been a rough several nights.
I have horrible bags under my eyes.
The card game helps to some degree. After several days' journey, the airship kind of makes its way in like a big, huge, broad circle around Mithril Hall until finally it finds a place just off the side of the broad road that runs into Mithril Hall, where they're able to set down. And Delsifine says, "I assume this is the pit stop."
Yep.
Yes.
Where is your ultimate destination?
I pull up that map again, and I go all the way over to Adbar, and then I go off the top of the map that doesn't exist, and I say, "I think here."
She says, "The only thing over there is the ice spires."
And I go, "You got it."
"Very well. How long will you be?"
At Mithril Hall?
Yes.
Not super long.
24 hours?
Would it even take that?
I don't know. We're just restocking, right? Or are you hanging out?
Yeah, I guess it's just restocking. But maybe a night's sleep in a real bed.
You can tell that. If that's what you need.
24
that's
hours.
What you need.
She says, "Very well. We will lift off in 24 hours. And Valum is very happy to be on the ground.
And I go turn to him.
Okay.
I put my hands on his shoulders.
Yep.
And I say, "Oh, Valum. Sir Valum, you have work to do. You are not coming with us any further."
But my lord, who will warm your bed?
Say,
and feed you, and who will make sure that your silks are folded in just the way you like?
I say, Calic will. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, huh?
It's your job.
Who will spoon with you?
I put my finger on his lips.
Don't even say it.
I assume that over time, I've told Valum about my fears of the state of Fangstone. And I say, "I need you to go there, now that you're a knight, and rally anyone you can find and try to pull things back together so that when I return, we can go kill stone giants."
Yes, my lord. If
you grab his shoulders and say, "I wouldn't trust anyone else!"
Yes, yes, my lord, I will do it.
And so, I turn him around, push him on the back. And I go, And I walk over and lift the bag off of his shoulder.
Okay.
And put it onto mine.
All right. So you can add Bag of Holding to your inventory.
I'd be sad if we lost that.
We went through a lot to get it.
Yeah, that was one of the best nights.
So you see Valum kind of square himself a little bit, and he kind of looks back at you like, are you sure? Is this, you know, is... you know, seeing that you have, you know, a very firm resolve, he kind of stands up a little bit straighter.
When he does, I walk behind him and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I use Silent Image to cast a version of him in front of us, looking back, that's slightly taller, a little bit more muscular, but wearing that sword over his shoulder just perfectly, and I say, you can do this. I'm just showing him this image. This is how I see you. This is how I manipulate you.
This is how I manipulate you.
Now you go and rally everything so that when I come back, build me an army.
So the vision inspires him, and he sets himself, and he starts off marching north.
I say,
he kind of stops and he turns.
As I walk over and I pull the map out,
also, maybe you should go to town and buy food.
Okay. So you whisper at him, kind of give him some instructions.
And then I go, and grab his shoulders again in a firm head shake, and then walk away.
So you kind of whisper at his ear, hey, this is where you really should be going, what you should be doing. All right, yes. And off goes Valum on his quest, bound and determined to at least appear competent for the next mile or so.
Good. Take it till you make it, Mel.
All right.
So I nudge Aspen. I'm like, hey, do you think we should ask Jador if he wants to do something else?
What? What do you mean?
You know, I'm just watching, you know, Eobard send Malin off. You know, did Jador sign up for all this? Like, do we at least want to check? I mean, buddy.
Can you leave us that hammer?
You're friends with him. You can ask him.
Well, that's not a question I want to ask.
Why not?
Because half the time he's my ride and the other half he's my best friend, so why would I ask if he wants to leave?
Okay. Kallik makes a mental note of that response. And I go up to Jador.
Okay.
And I go, hey, buddy. We're gonna go kill some giants, fire giants.
You probably would be interested in that.
What are you doing?
I'm not trying to get rid of him. Oh. Just giving him a chance. I feel wrong if we went all this way and he's like, I didn't want to go. We'll probably die, but
killing giants.
You still want to go with us? I'm sure there's a dragon. I don't know if you like dragons or not.
Giants die. Jador kill.
Okay, just checking, buddy. I walk away.
What else Jador do?
Nope, you keep killing, dude. You got it.
Just wait for the signal. We might try to talk our way out of it occasionally.
Yeah, no, it's... As soon as you mention something about off to kill fire giants, or giants of any kind, Jador was ready to go.
No, put it away.
So, you, I assume, begin marching up the broad road. It goes up into this hillside that is essentially looks almost like a mountain was buried almost to the very top, the way this rock face kind of just juts out of the land. And the broad road goes all the way up to these very large doors that are open. And standing out in front of these large doors on either side is, on either side of the broad road, you count about a total of 20 dwarfs. And there are large banners flying in the air. You see two banners for the Lord's Alliance, and then you see four banners, two on each side, double the number for the Lord's Alliance, of the current ruler of Mithril Hall, and claimant to ruler of all dwarves, Queen Dagnabbit.
Dagnabbit?
She's the one who sent her dwarves to Zephyros' place.
I'm sure she had her reasons.
But yes.
She collects flying castles.
You make your way with the rest of the individuals through the main doors. Once entering the main doors, you find that on the immediate other side is actually a bridge that looks like it can be removed in some way. That leads to a large open square. At the back of the square, kind of built into this inside cavern, looks like two or three levels of houses or buildings or what have you. And in between them, at the very back, it looks like there is another entrance, but it is currently cordoned off. Anyway, in this large square, you see lots of caravanners and traveling merchants and stalls and what have you have kind of sprung up in this sort of huge open area. And it is here where you expect to be able to do some shopping.
I'm looking for a place to sell my studded leather armor and maybe pick up a better bow.
Okay, so there's plenty of stalls and places to sell and buy. In terms of the studded leather armor, the best deal you have found in town is 15 gold pieces for it.
Okay, I'll take it. That's fine.
Every one of the dwarven merchants wish to purchase your mithril breastplate.
Nope.
You selling that?
And you have heard some very impressive numbers.
I totally believe it, but I'm just looking for a bow right now.
A better short bow. Okay.
If there's anything that packs a bigger punch, or, you know, maybe...
You notice that one merchant is selling these strange glass-tipped arrows.
Ooh, what are these?
When you inquire about them, you're told that that the merchant calls them acid arrows.
Ooh.
And that on impact, the glass tip shatters and the person takes acid damage.
Yes, please. How much are these?
50 gold apiece.
I'll come back after I buy some other stuff and see how much I have left. Because these are really neat, but I want to make sure I get other stuff first.
Always a good thing. He says, I have other arrows if you're interested. It takes you a while of hunting and pecking around, but you do eventually find a merchant who has a short bow. The problem you're having is that a lot of the short bows have been made for big people. But you do find someone who is willing to sell you a dwarven shortbow, which is close enough in size, and claims that it is particularly accurate.
Can I take like a really good,
you want to investigate it?
Investigate or do an insight check on the guy?
Whichever you prefer.
I'm going to do an insight check on the guy.
Okay.
25.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He does not appear to be lying in any way.
Okay. Then I guess I'll... Can I also investigate?
You want to investigate the thing itself?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
20.
You notice that it is in amazing condition.
How much is it?
The dwarf is willing to part with it for 250 gold.
Will you take two of these gems worth 100 gold pieces each and then 50 gold?
He puts this bizarre shaped brass and glass sort of thing in his eye. Gives the gems a good inspection.
I pried them out of a helm of a giant.
He takes a good, long, sweet look at him. And he says, that's a deal.
Will he give me anything for my short bow, my regular short bow?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to sell it, he'll give you 10 gold for it.
Yeah.
So you can just give him 40 on top of the gem.
Yeah, whatever. We do the money stuff. What's this new?
It's just a short bow, plus one.
Nice.
Anything else? Were you interested in those acid arrows?
Yeah. And they were 50 apiece?
Well, that's what he started at. I'm sure you can maybe barter with him.
What were his other... He said he had other arrows, too?
Mm-hmm.
What were his other arrows?
He has an arrow that's a dark iron... Made of dark iron.
About it?
Did we get it?
That it has the ability to pierce armor. And then he also has ones that look like acid arrows, but he says that they're hollow and that they're filled with alchemist fire.
How much are those?
Same as the acid arrows. Unless you decide you want to barter with them.
I would also like to barter with them. We're fighting the giant menace, and we're gonna get to the bottom of it. And you should help us out.
Give me a roll.
Oof. Nope. Nope, nope, nope. He charged me more. I rolled a one.
How many arrows are you gonna buy? And of what?
Let's do 5 and 5.
5 and 5 it is. And you're paying in gems?
I'm paying in gems.
He takes them. Those are gems not quite like any that he has seen. He thinks that's a great trade. Any supplies you want?
Well, I have healing potions. If you guys need more healing potions, you can get them yourself.
Eobard, this is an odd experience. You walk into the square thinking, all right. And then it dawns on you.
Go get...
Shit.
You've never done anything like this before in your life. You're not even really sure how it works.
I stand up and straighten my back out a bit. And I think, I am a noble. I don't need people to tend for me. I like people to tend for me. And also, I've got bigger fish to fry. I need the plan for killing the stone giants. So I start just walking around the square looking at what options are available to me.
What are you looking for?
So I read a little bit of what I could decipher in that little book of mine.
Which you noticed ever since the vision has started to make more and more sense.
Yep. I've read about certain kinds of implements that make your ability to connect with your patron stronger. And so what I'm looking for is probably a little bit, if we're in Diagon Alley right now.
A little bit like that, yeah.
I am looking for something that's that place that Harry Potter accidentally fell into when he said it wrong.
Diagon Alley.
Diagon Alley.
Yes. Okay.
But I don't have any money, so I don't actually know what I'm going to do.
And the money's in the bag of holding. It's Valum who no longer has any.
Oh, right. I don't even know what Valum had.
Well, Valum was able to scrounge together 150 gold.
Okay.
That's all that's left of the fortune, of the family fortune at this point, as far as you know.
And this market is a bit diverse. It's not just dwarves, right? There's quite a few.
Yeah, there's dwarves and humans and, I mean, there's all kinds.
There's people.
There's not a lot of elves, but...
Yeah. So yeah, I walk about around a bit and I'm like, well, I don't wear armor. I don't use any of those swords. Do I see anything that would entice me? And I also tell Malthus to go scout about. I say, go find me trouble.
Trouble.
Are there places that look like they would deal in artifacts?
Yeah, there is one stall that is manned by a gnome that seems to have a variety of artifacts and trinkets and curios and things of that nature. And then there is another one tended by a human. The one tended by the human looks like he would do anything to rip you off.
Okay, I go to him. And does he have things laying about, or is he just sort of standing there?
Everything in the stall is under this glass case.
Mm-hmm.
He can lift the lid up and get things out.
So I walk through the stall, and I just try this.
Okay.
I think on the dreams,
and
I think on this patron, and I just hold my hand out over the things as I'm walking by, as if I'm kind of like, you know, when someone's like a fancy jewelry thing and coveting all of it, and they just kind of go...
Oh, this looks nice. Okay.
And I see if anything seems like it jumps out to me.
Okay.
Because since it's about a connection kind of thing, my guess is that if it's relevant, then it would call to me in some sort of sense.
Sure. All right.
The same way if I was a cleric, I would say, I'm looking for something holy. Well, this doesn't feel holy. Well, then it's probably not.
Well, you do see something that catches your eye and catches your breath for the briefest of moments.
The hairs on my arm stand up?
A little bit. And it is an amulet.
So I stop.
Okay. Collaborate and listen.
And I look at him.
Ice is bad.
And I put my finger on the glass and say, what is that?
He says, oh, you have good taste. He says, that is an amulet of Asmodeus.
When he says that name, does anything happen to me?
You know that Malthus is flying around, but you feel Malthus kind of like stop whatever Malthus is doing. You feel it, even though he's nowhere near you. And you hear his breathing kind of pick up pace a little bit. Yeah, it's a bit creepy.
Does he give it to me to inspect?
Oh, he does not open the case.
He's just like, that's what that is.
That's what that is.
I say, what would it take for me to walk out of here with that? Does this particular item stand out as being kind of different from the others, or does it seem like he's kind of into these kinds of things?
It looks like he's into these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. He's a dirty boy. He's a dirty, dirty boy.
Dirty, dirty boy. He's into these kind of things.
That's good. I can work with that.
One. And two, it looks a bit tarnished.
Like it just hasn't been kept well?
Yeah. He says 1,000 gold.
We don't have that much money, do we?
No.
I don't have that much money.
Yeah, not in straight gold. You may have it in gems. So make sure you look at your gems.
I don't want to buy it from him fairly.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, I don't. That's kind of my last resort.
Just remember that gems are worth the value, too.
Yeah, that's all. You will have to explain it to me. I don't really know how money works.
You may use gems as well.
Oh, thank you. Those are a kind of
says
currency.
Says wise Kallik.
Yeah.
The Kallik of wise.
I look this guy up and down as I'm thinking over the amount of money he just posted to me, and I'm trying to decide.
As you look him up and down,
I go.
You notice that he is wearing a ring on each finger.
Like all 10?
Yes. And you notice that you can see some sort of silvery chain underneath his doublet.
Hmm.
As you look him up and down, he looks you straight in the eye,
mm-hmm.
and in no way does he flinch. In fact, you're pretty sure that he almost gave you a look like, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah, no, you don't, because I'm thinking, is 1,000 a lot? But I'm sure he thinks he knows what I'm thinking. So I say, do you barter outside of coin?
I take all manner of things valuable and interesting.
I noticed that lots of things in your shop here have a certain aesthetic to them, and I might have something that interests you.
What might that be?
Without leaving eye contact, because that's what we do now.
Right.
I pull out a glass container.
The finger of fate.
With a finger mounted inside of it.
It kind of looks
at it. That was worth 5,000 gold, though. That was worth 5,000 gold, though.
Shit, is that a lot?
It's more than 1,000. That's just math.
He had no concept of value.
He doesn't even remember what it was.
He's like, I don't even remember when I got this.
Where did this come from?
I remember that. I mean, that guy told me he wanted 5,000. I don't know if that's what it's worth. He didn't seem to know what it was.
Yeah.
He just went, I don't know, 5,000.
Yeah, it's true.
But, I don't know, maybe he'll up the deal a little bit. So I have this, but, you know, I don't know how to break it into smaller denominations. I could give you half of it.
So you put it on the counter, and he kind of looks it over, and he says, "Where did you get this?"
And I say, "Why? Does that change its value?"
Not particularly. I'm just incredibly curious. It's not every day that I see a finger of a pit fiend.
That's good. This tells us this guy really does know his game. I said, it wasn't every day that I saw a finger of a pit fiend. That's why I thought it would be a good idea to pick it up.
He says, I'll trade you.
The scales are uneven now. Do you have anything else that I might... Now that you know what my tastes are, do you have anything else that you might like to add?
I don't know that you have anything more with which to purchase anything that I might show you.
It's like, this is pretty much it. This is my ace of spades right here. But I know roughly its value, I think.
Yeah, he...
Particularly anything else shaped like that. And I point back at the amulet again.
That is the only one that I possess. They're not very common. In fact, they're rather rare.
Let me think. So if you don't have anything else, then just pat it with some coin, and we'll call it good.
All right. Let's actually roll for see how this bargain deal works out.
Are we negotiating?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
We are. Or in this particular case, it would be a persuasion check, because there is no negotiation skill.
Oh, there isn't one. It's persuasion?
Well, no one's deceiving anyone here, so.
And I didn't tell him I'd break his spine.
You gonna try and intimidate him?
Nah.
Okay.
I'm happy with. I would like to roll this with advantage.
Okay, this is the one.
That is a good choice.
Let's not cut hairs here.
Let's spend that when you need it.
Okay, that was just the bad
one. Yeah, right.
Okay, anybody can work with this. Okay.
Okay.
Before I use this, I would like to thank... Dark Luck. And augment the score.
Okay.
I am using Dark One's own luck, which lets me add a D10 to it before I resolve it. It's going to help a little bit. I got a 22.
A 22. Wow, nice. Okay. He says, I will add 150 gold.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay. Sounds good. He sets that aside, puts down in front of you a stack of gold coins.
Mm-hmm.
Opens up the case, reaches in and grabs the amulet by the chain using a stick, and holds it out on the end of the
stick. Smile and hold my hand, my bare fleshy hand out.
And he just drops it in there, closes the thing, and he says, it was a pleasure doing business with you.
See, I think maybe it was. I feel like it was worth a little bit more money than that. It's okay, obviously very magical. Okay. I pull it to my chest, spin on my heel, and walk out the door.
As soon as it touches your skin, it immediately feels warm to the touch, and then cold.
And then I see if I can polish it up.
It seems the longer it is actually in your hand,
mm-hmm.
the less and less tarnished it appears, just by the nature of being worn.
And then I would guess...
You're going to take some time to kind of familiarize yourself with it?
I am going to take some time. Solid 10 minutes, I would say.
Okay.
Get to know it?
Well, it'll take about an hour total. Okay. But it is an amulet in which you can store spells that you can use later.
Ooh, that sounds good.
So if you have the DM's guide.
Is it the same as the Ring of Spell Storing?
Yep.
Okay.
Identical.
Sweet. That would let me store...
Well, in this particular case, it functions like the Ring of Spell Storing, but mm-hmm. it is... Not, you know, it is an amulet of Osmondias. So it enables you to store 3 spells of 5th level or lower.
Whoa, okay. That is a good deal then. I put it on and let it sit right on my, right above my heart. This guy terrifies me, but power is very, very, very compelling.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Sweet. I feel like I get a good deal for that finger then. I gave him the finger.
Thank you for listening to Heroes Not Included. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe today with your favorite podcast app. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review us. We'd love to hear from you. Find all of our episodes on our website at heroesnotincluded.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/heroesnotincluded. And finally, our podcast is supported by Tevye Schmidt, Chris Gergich, and Josh Heddle, along with all of our awesome patrons. Our patrons not only help us keep the lights on, but they also gain special behind-the-screen access, including patron-only podcasts, videos, and more. To become a patron, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/heroesnotincluded. Until next week, be the hero.